Brody's story. Brody lived in a caravan with his dad. It was just how things were after his mother died. She was what held them all together. His father couldn't get out of bed for weeks after she died, and when he finally did, he had lost his job. "Sorry, Mac," his boss had said. "I just couldn't keep your job any longer. Maybe you should look for something easier, a job that will give you more time to spend with the boy." But for Mac Kimberly, getting an easier job was hard. There was none. And so the money ran out. And when the money ran out, the mortgage couldn't be paid. Brody wasn't sure how much it was, but it seemed like some wild beast had jumped onto his dad's back and was killing him. So Mac Kimberly sold the house, and the beast on his back seemed to go with it. Brody and his dad had seen the caravan looking lonely and broken down in Martha's backyard. Everyone knew Martha. She lived in a huge house with a big garden. She was an artist. Martha was happy to give the caravan to Mac. Spiders had made homes in every dark corner. Paint was peeling off the sides, and the door was hanging off.
"You can have it," said Martha. "In return, you can tidy up my garden."
"That's a deal," said Mac Kimberly. The old caravan was taken to a caravan park, but when the park owner saw it, he was shocked.
"I can't possibly have that piece of junk in my park," he said.
So the caravan was taken back to Martha's. "We will have to look for somewhere else to park it, or find another place to live," said Mac. Martha pointed to her backyard.
"Look," she said, "it's a jungle. I need a gardener and someone to look after the house when I'm away. Park the caravan here. I won't charge you rent if you can help me out."
So that's how Brody and his dad came to be living in a caravan in Martha's backyard jungle. They cleaned the caravan and painted it bright orange with a purple stripe and a green door.
"It's unique, one of a kind," his dad said.
But Martha decided it wasn't quite unique enough, so she painted a fire-breathing dragon with glowing eyes on the front.
"Now it's really unique," she laughed.
Brody never told anyone he lived in a caravan. His friends thought he lived with Martha. He had told them she was his auntie, and they had moved in to help her for a while. Mac Kimberly had once been a famous violin player. He had won competitions and been on television shows. Brody loved to watch how his father made the bow dance and glide across the strings. It made his heart sing somehow. Since Brody's mother had died, however, the violin had stayed still and silent in its case. But now, after moving to the caravan, Mac played the violin every day. Sometimes Martha came outside and danced in time to the music, her hair moving around like a red mop. One day, Brody sneaked the violin out of its case. He drew the bow across the tight strings, but the sound was terrible. A squeaking, screaming sound, like a trapped bird. It was so awful, his father rushed in from the garden.
"I thought you were hurt," he laughed. "Look, I'll teach you to play the violin properly, if you would like."
Brody was a fast learner, and it was not long before he could play the violin almost as well as his dad.
"Brody Kimberly," said Martha, "you are going to be a famous violin player too."
One day, Brody's teacher asked if anyone could play a musical instrument.
"I especially need someone who can play the violin," she said.
Holly Larson's hand went up really fast as soon as Miss Sampson had finished talking.
I can play the violin, she said. I play in competitions.
Brody kept quiet. He didn't want anyone to know that he could play the violin. But his friend Cam said,
Brody has a violin, and he can play it too.
Brody slid down in his seat. There was no way he would be good enough to play for an audience. He wasn't going to make a fool of himself. Holly Larson was good at everything. Miss Sampson explained that a talent scout was coming to school. He was looking for someone to play in the musical, Mr. Spy. He needed a violinist, a drummer, and a guitarist.
Bring your instruments tomorrow for a trial run, she said. And oh, if you are selected, the pay is good.
Brody walked up the long drive to Martha's house, kicking angrily at the pebbles. He hated being the center of attention. There was no way he would play the violin. No amount of money or promises of fame would persuade him. Thoughts of playing the violin vanished, however, when he saw police officers outside Martha's house. Martha and his dad were talking in low voices, and they didn't look very happy.
What happened? Asked Brody.
Break-in, said his dad. All Martha's paintings and her art gear have been stolen.
Brody knew that Martha, like them, didn't have much money. She had worked hard to have paintings finished for an exhibition, and she was really hoping to sell some. He could see his dad was upset too, blaming himself for not being a very good guard.
It's my fault, he said to Martha. If I hadn't been playing the violin, I would have heard them.
We'll do what we can, said the police officer, but this looks like the job of professional burglars.
What if Martha couldn't afford to keep her house? Brody was afraid that the wild beast would be back again. Brody's dad let him take the violin to school.
Take real good care of it, Brody, he said, a little worried.
Holly Larson offered to play first. She made her bow dance across the strings, moving to the rhythm like a professional violinist. She was good, really good. Brody suddenly felt embarrassed. There was no way he would play after her. But Miss Sampson's voice was demanding.
Brody, she said, your turn.
Brody felt his face got hot as he pulled out the violin. The good thing about playing the violin was he could keep his head down. He didn't need to look at his audience. The minute the bow touched the strings, however, Brody was transported to a different world. He was back in Martha's garden listening to his father. The bow dipped and dived. It moved up and down the strings, skipping and tripping, high notes and low notes in an easy movement. A sound like a swarm of bees followed by a sense of riding the wind. The room was silent as Brody walked back to his seat, and then the applause, everyone clapping, except Holly Larson. The police were back at Martha's when he returned home. They didn't have any news yet, but they were working on it. Tracking stolen paintings should not be too difficult, surely. Martha was sad thinking about how long it had taken her to finish the paintings. Also, the paints and brushes and other things had cost so much. Brody's dad was sad too, because he had not looked after the house well, and because Martha was sad. Brody hoped his dad wouldn't stay in bed again, like he did after his mum had died. Thinking of that made Brody sad. Thinking of how good Holly Larson was made him even more sad. He needed his mum. She would wrap up the sadness and toss it to the wind. Then she would say,
"Everything looks brighter from behind a smile."
That night, Brody told his dad he needed the violin again.
I am worried, said his dad. If anything happened to it, I could never replace it.
I'll look after it, said Brody. Promise.
At school, Brody put the violin on a high shelf in the classroom. It was the safest place, he thought. But he was wrong. There was no one in the room at lunchtime, so nobody saw what happened. But the case had fallen down by accident. It was Holly Larson who found it. The neck of the violin was broken, and the strings were loose.
Oh, no, she said. She looked shocked.
Brody carefully placed the neck back in the case with the violin as if it were a bird with a broken wing. He didn't care that he couldn't play for the talent scout, but how could he tell his dad what had happened to the violin? First Martha's paintings, and now his dad's precious violin. The talent scout came into the room, and Miss Sampson introduced him.
"Your teacher tells me there is some real talent in this class," he said, looking around. "I'm looking forward to hearing you."
Again it was Holly Larson who played first. Brody closed his eyes and listened. She sure could make that violin hum. The talent scout smiled and whispered something to Miss Sampson.
"Amazing," he said, as Holly Larson finished with one dramatic sweep of her bow.
She looked at Brody, and he could see that she was happy. The talent scout's eyes searched the room.
"There's another violinist?" he asked.
"There was," said Miss Sampson. "But his violin is broken. Can you come back if he can get it fixed?"
"I'm sorry," said the talent scout. "I have to decide today."
Brody thought he should feel relieved that he didn't have to play, but a sadness had descended on him like a gray mist. Suddenly, there was Holly Larson, walking towards him, holding out her violin.
"Use mine," she said.
Brody was stunned. Holly really wanted to win, but now she was giving him a chance. He shook his head, but she persisted.
"If I win," she said, "it would be by default. That's not a real win."
Brody muttered, "Thanks," as he took the violin. It was lighter than his dad's, but he could tell it was a good one. Brody stood ready, the bow gently touching the strings. Then he played like he had never played before. The talent scout was on his feet, smiling and clapping.
"Who taught you to play?"
he asked when the bow finally stopped quivering. "My dad," replied Brody.
"And who is he?"
asked the talent scout. "Mac Kimberly," said Brody. Then a strange thing happened. Brody thought the talent scout was about to turn inside out with excitement.
"Mac Kimberly?" he said. "The famous Mac Kimberly? Everyone wondered where he had gone. You are the son of Mac Kimberly? This is my lucky, lucky day."
Not all stories end happily, but this one did. Brody played lead violinist in Mr. Spy, and his dad helped out in the orchestra. The money they earned was enough to get Mac's violin repaired and buy Brody a new one. It was enough to buy Martha some more painting gear, and she began to paint again. It was enough as well to buy a guard dog and put in some burglar alarms. Martha's paintings were found at last. She had an exhibition and sold them, all except one. That one she gave to Brody. Brody's dad married Martha, and they all moved into her house. The caravan became Brody's den, with Martha's painting on the wall. Brody and Holly became friends, playing their violins together, and probably by now they are world famous.